Hello, friends. Welcome to Our Southern Community, your public affairs program exploring the people and the issues of the environment, energy, and economics in our region. Today's program is about Golden Seal, and we have a panel of guests here to discuss an issue that, under other circumstances, might have flown under the radar. Let me introduce first Mr. Robert Itis. Robert, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Ned.
Mark Williams is joining us as well. Mark, welcome to Our Southern Community.
Thank you, Ned. Glad to be here.
And rounding out our triumvirate is Corey Pine-Shane.
Thank you, Ned. Good to be here.
We are going to discuss the history, the background, and the current situation around Golden Seal, but let's first start with a short background of each of our discussion guests here today on this topic. Robert, why don't you start with some of your background?
I am the owner of the North Carolina Ginseng Golden Seal Company and founder of the Southern Appalachian School for Growing Medicinal Plants. I'm also on the executive committee of the North Carolina Natural Products Association.
Mark, you're known as a regional plant guy.
Yeah, that's correct, Ned. Ever since I moved here in 99, I've been studying plants, their uses for food, for medicine, for beauty, and also teaching the local public about those uses and other aspects around plant knowledge and information.
And Corey Pine, how about a little bit of your background? You're also one of the names around the region when it comes to plants and medicinals.
I'm the director of the Blue Ridge School of Herbal Medicine, have a clinical practice, and I'm on the board of the North Carolina Herb Association. I've been practicing and teaching here in Asheville for the last 15 years.
Our discussion today rotates around Golden Seal, a plant in the region that I suspect almost everyone's heard of, but I'm equally confident very few have any appreciation of the history and the applications for this plant, other than knowing it's a natural plant. How about any one of you picking up with a little bit of the background on Golden Seal and some of its applications?
Golden Seal is a plant that has been threatened or endangered in its natural range of 22 states. The epicenter is South Ohio, southeastern Ohio, and from there it bridges out. There are a couple of states, West Virginia, Tennessee, and Kentucky, that still have large amounts of Golden Seal and they still wild harvest it. But all of the other states pretty much have endangered classification of endangered or threatened.
Golden Seal is native to this area. It was known to the Cherokee and other Native American tribes. They used it medicinally. And the scientific name, Hydrastis canadensis, is how scientists look at qualifying it. And it's in the Ranunculaceae. It's in the buttercup family. And so there's a long history of the use of Golden Seal with the indigenous people around here. And the indigenous people were the ones that first turned on the settlers into its medicinal properties.
Medicinal use of Golden Seal goes back to the 1700s. During the 1800s, the eclectics, who were physicians as well as herbalists, used Golden Seal extensively. They wrote about it, they used it in their practice to treat all manner of disease, such as infections. They would use it for liver disease, to stimulate the liver, to stimulate digestion, for basically for stomach flus, and upper respiratory infections, including sinus infections and urinary tract infections.
So this is really a practical plant that had found a real niche in terms of medicine in both the native populations and the white settlers.
Yeah, used extensively by both. One of the reasons it was used so extensively is because back in the 1600s, 1700s, it was incredibly abundant. Matter of fact, there's records of people using it as a dye for dyeing clothes, which means that there was probably a whole lot more of it back then than there is now.
And that would be for literally a yellow color, a golden color as a dye in textile and so forth?
Exactly. Just that beautiful yellow golden color.
The yellow color that golden seal is known for is caused by the compound berberine, which is actually a prolific thing within the buttercup family that golden seal is a part of, and also in the barberry family as well. There are a number of other native plants, like yellow root, Xanthorrhizus simplicissima, which also has that yellow color, and a number of these plants are much more common than golden seal and could possibly be used both as dyes and as medicines in exchange at times.
Golden seal also has an ability to help on the outside of the body. Because of its antifungal nature, it is good for funguses in your toes. It is also good for red eye. The Indians used it to get the red out of your eyes. And also for fever blisters, it's really good for that too. So on the outside of the body, they can use it in pretty well as much quantity as they want until the problem is healed. On the inside of the body, you got to be very careful because too much golden seal can cause some problems.
In which case, have a discussion with your doctor or physician or a trained health professional before ingesting the golden seal just to be on the safe side.
That's correct.
Golden seal is definitely especially contraindicated in cases of pregnancy. It is used in cases of childbirth in order to smooth the childbirth process, but is contraindicated previous to that because it might bring about childbirth early.
Golden seal has a history of being remarkably efficacious in a wide range of applications, which is why there's a lot of interest in protecting it. Which brings us to the central core of today's program, and that lands us on the doorstep of the North Carolina Plant Commission.
They and the scientific committee have determined that golden seal should not be put on the endangered / threatened list in North Carolina, the first state to actually take golden seal off of an endangered threatened list.
What was the basis for delisting the golden seal? Is it an abundant plant now? Has it come back to its pre-settler levels and we're awash in golden seal throughout the region?
Oh, Ned, I wish we were. Unfortunately, the scientific committee took a reading from the Blue Ridge Heritage Area, where over the last 10 years, 27 plant groupings have been cited. They did not go back and look at those groupings to see if they were even around, or whether somebody had poached them. So we don't know how many of those 27 sites are still out there. They made the assumption all of the sites were still there and that they were very healthy and doing well.
If it was 10 years since anyone saw the golden seal, that seems like an awful long period of time to assume that it's still there.
Yes, I don't think that that's good science, and I think that they really need to relook at that situation. If they come up with maybe not 27 sites, maybe they will then determine, well, hey, we need to protect this plant. The problem here was that the plant propagation permit for golden seal was tied to the fact that it was threatened and endangered. Now that it's no longer threatened and endangered, they don't have to have a propagation permit. That is definitely one of the reasons I believe the staff decided that this was not a threatened or endangered species, because they did not have the manpower to really set out the propagation permits in a timely manner.
It seems on the surface that delisting it, eliminating the need for licenses and tracking and so on, would only encourage or at least allow the wild harvesting and poaching. There's no longer any constraint on the production, distribution, and so forth. The golden seal, am I close to correct on here?
That's true. That's what they have just done. And that's what's getting the plant community pretty upset. Both the plant community that goes out and tries to teach about it and finds it very spartanly in our woods, to those people who are trying to propagate it. And if we had a propagation license, then when they came to the dealers would know that they're not wildcrafting the plant.
Was there any kind of a public comment period? Was there any outreach to the people who are actually working and commercing and trading in golden seal?
There was no outreach whatsoever. Even the plant division admits that they did not do a good job on this. They put a notice in the North Carolina Register with commenting period to end October 1st. I learned about this September 27th, 3 days before the comment period was over. I tried to comment. It was very, very difficult. They don't make it easy to get outside comments.
Yeah, I had no idea that these rules were being changed until I got an email from Robert. And I use Golden Seal in my practice. I buy either organic or woods cultivated. I don't buy any wildcrafted Golden Seal. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about people over-harvesting it. Actually, I'm a wildcrafter myself. I harvest plants from around the area. I just don't think Golden Seal is a plant that can be wildcrafted in this area. There's not enough abundance of the area. We shouldn't be getting our Golden Seal from the wild. We should be cultivating it. One of the reasons why Golden Seal is so easily over-harvested is that it's a stand plant, meaning that unlike ginseng, where you have a plant here, then 20 feet away there's another plant, then 20 feet away there's another plant, Golden Seal tends to cluster together. So it's really easy if you're not an ethical wildcrafter, if you're not thinking about, do I want the Golden Seal to be here 10 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now? If you don't have that in your consciousness, you look and you see a big patch of Golden Seal, it's really easy to harvest all of it, to take all of it so there's none left there for future generations. And I think that's part of the issue with wildcrafting in North Carolina.
So a definition of wild crafting can range from responsible harvesting with an eye toward preservation all the way to the other end of the spectrum, poaching and just ripping it out and destroying the stands.
Absolutely, Ned. The main point here is North Carolina has no right to allow wild crafting of Golden Seal because it's not sustainable, it's not resilient enough to be there for everybody. And it's a quick grab. It's easy money to pull this plant up. And we need to make it harder for wildcrafting of Golden Seal to take place, not like the new rules make it easier, because there's nothing that is out there to tell the Golden Seal dealer that this was grown in a propagation fashion.
The proposals that delist the Golden Seal in effect seem as though they make it just a completely unregulated, untraceable product, whereas with the regulations in place and with a system for the propagators, those people growing it responsibly, you basically have kind of a good housekeeping seal so that you would know that this Golden Seal, it has been harvested from a relatively traceable source as opposed to just off the back of somebody's truck.
That's absolutely correct, Ned, and it's positive revenue for the state. It's a place where the state can come in, hasn't been charging a fee, and it could be a fairly low fee, but it still can raise some money for the state and also protect the plant. And that's what we're out to do, I thought.
This has got to have at least a reasonable impact in the region in terms of the economy, in terms of the propagators, in terms of the practitioners, this whole picture. There's money involved here. Is that accurate?
Yes, there is a lot of money to be made with Golden Seal. 1 acre of Golden Seal in the 1990s was valued at $60,000. Now that is over a 5 to 8 year period that you're growing it to get that. So you have to divide the number of years by the amount of money.
The idea of having reasonable fees and a reasonable structure to at least loosely monitor the propagation, the farms, however it's specifically defined, just seems remarkably reasonable as a self-funding mechanism to not only protect the industry economically, but at the root of the problem, protect the plant itself.
I think that it's just as important to raise awareness with people as it is to have regulations in place that are going to keep them within some construct. I think that it is important to have the money that's going to support the industry, and there's going to be some oversight. But just as importantly, since golden seal is one of the flagship plants for this area, it needs to have that awareness within the general public that it's special, that it needs protection, and that it is supposed to be honored. And that can overall spill into other plants and into people appreciating the other plants that might not be as useful or as well known.
One of the issues that I have with both the Scientific Committee and the North Carolina Plant Commission is that when they delisted golden seal from being endangered and threatened, they could have done what was done for ginseng, and that was to make it a special concern plant. If they made it a special concern plant, it would still have some of the protection of having a permit needed to grow this plant, and it would still have that ability to let the golden seal dealer know that this is a propagated golden seal and not a wildcrafted golden seal. They did not do that. Why they did not do that, I still don't understand. They can still do that, make it a special concern plant.
Our discussion of the North Carolina Plant Commission reflects bureaucracy and government agencies that I think they're not unique in. What are the comparisons with the North Carolina system and perhaps some of the other states or some of the other regions that are more effectively providing guidance and protection for golden seal?
I don't think that any state right now is proactive to golden seal. It's all a matter of trying to minimally protect administratively golden seal, but no proaction. That is one of the problems that we're having. The other aspect of it is that if we have a system in North Carolina where fees are extracted and go into the general fund, then there is no way for the plant division to want to collect extra fees on the propagation of golden seal.
They don't see the revenue.
They don't see the revenue because the revenue is just taken off of their budget. It all goes into the general fund. But unlike some other taxes that are out there, like the gasoline tax, that goes directly to the highways. And the golden seal fee should go back into administration and into propagation of this plant so that we have this plant around in the future.
In light of the current pressures on it and the issues we've been covering in general here, what do you gentlemen see as the prospects for a vigorous golden seal plant population in the area?
Well, it's hard to say what's going to happen in North Carolina or even the United States, because golden seal is an herb that's being used not just in the U.S., but really across the world. It's used in Europe, it's used in Australia. Any place where people use Western herbal medicine, they use golden seal. What I would like to see in our homes and in people who do use herbal medicine is switching to alternatives. There are a lot of plants that contain berberine, as Mark was saying before, that have that same antimicrobial property. What people are really talking about is scientific studies on the isolated constituent berberine, which is also found in our local plant yellow root and barberry. Barberry can be an invasive plant around here. People will beg you to get rid of their barberry. Oregon grape is a relatively common plant out west. Coptis or gold thread is used in Chinese medicine. So all these plants can be used as substitutes for this endangered plant golden seal and are effective for treating a lot of the same issues that golden seal has been used for.
I think that the future of golden seal is that it's going to be this model. It's going to be this poster child that's held up, whether it's by groups like the United Plant Savers and their book Planting for the Future, or whether it's just from a grassroots perspective with interested advocates like ourselves and others from different states. So as much as it's important to have these regulations in place and the support of the governmental authorities and different agencies, it's going to really be a multi-spectrum approach of numerous different stakeholders that are going to need to step up in order to maintain this very special plant.
One of the problems I think here was that both the Scientific Committee and the North Carolina Plant Commission do not have representatives that are in the field and in commerce and making medicine, making the rules. the people are more in the arboretum and botanical gardens. And these are some of the folks that are trying to make these regulations. If the North Carolina Plant Commission and or the scientific committee had representation from people who deal in golden seal dealers, or people who are using golden seal for medicine and ask their advice on some of these things, we wouldn't have had this situation, because I'm sure that people who are selling and propagating golden seal that I know of really wanted to have input into these regulations so that we wouldn't have to get to this place of coming back to the Plant Commission and the Scientific Committee to ask them to do what they should have done in the first place. And if they want to delist golden seal as endangered and threatened, they should have just immediately moved it over into a special concern plant. Not notifying anybody and making the wrong decision is what they did. And the only way to get them to change it is to now go through a more lengthy process to have that happen.
It seems to me not unreasonable that the commission would take a second look at this now that they're finally getting the input that they hadn't gotten before. Are you at all optimistic that they might revisit?
I'm always optimistic, but at this point in time, after such a lengthy process, they are really very much convinced that what they did was right. I believe if they do see the light of day, there won't be a need for us to have a campaign to get a law passed through the North Carolina legislature that would have the Plant Commission and the scientific community relook at this reclassification.
From a citizen's standpoint, from a consumer's standpoint, who might think that, well, golden seal is worth preserving, and if I'm going to use golden seal, how can I know that it was responsibly propagated or responsibly wildcrafted, as opposed to who knows where? What's the mechanism in the state right now, and what are the options if this ruling stands?
When somebody comes to me and says that I have some golden seal, the first thing I ask them is it wildcrafted? And because they don't usually know that I only buy a cultivated golden seal, they'll come out and say, oh, yeah, we wildcrafted this. And then I'll tell them that I won't buy it from them, that they need to cultivate it, that we can't continue to wildcraft golden seal in any state, as far as I'm concerned, let alone North Carolina.
Yet from a consumer standpoint, they don't really understand that distinction. And when you go to buy golden seal, there's no way to tell where it came from currently?
Right now, there's really no official way to know about the sourcing of your golden seal, other than often with other things, to like go directly to the person you're getting that from and then talk with them and get the story. Ultimately, to be able to grow it is not that hard, and there are some great resources about it. There's a great book by Dr. Janine Davis and Scott Persons called Growing Ginseng, Golden Seal, and Other Medicinal Plants. And so it's going to be up to the grassroots, I think, since there's no official thing to keep it regulated and to keep that knowledge awareness. It's going to be up to the grassroots to provide that level of certification and veracity in its sourcing from an ethical place.
Not everybody, but a lot of companies will put on their bottles if the product, the Golden Seal product, is, if it's wildcrafted, if it's cultivated. And that's happening more and more, as I think that the companies are starting to become aware that Golden Seal is not an unlimited resource in the wild. I think there's more consciousness now that we should be getting more of our Golden Seal from cultivated sources. So look for that. When you buy a tincture or a capsule of Golden Seal, look for it on the side of the bottle. Hopefully it will say, comes from cultivated sources.
There's really no difference in terms of the potency and the efficacy of golden seal, whether it is poached in the wild or whether it's grown in somebody's yard.
That's correct. There's absolutely no difference. There's no way to tell if it comes cultivated or wildcrafted. Same potency, same strength, same everything. Just as good.
Gentlemen, it has been an informative and pleasurable get-together with you all. We are just about out of time. Corey Pine Shane, how about a few last thoughts and any contact information if any of the listeners would like to get in touch with you after the fact?
I think one thing I'd like to leave people with is that as herbal medicine becomes more popular, we need to take care of the plants in the wild as well. The best way to contact me is through my website, www.blueridgeschool.org. And my email address is CP, short for Corey Pine, at blueridgeschool.org.
Mark Williams, thank you for taking the time. Your last concepts and thoughts for us and some contact information.
Well, golden seal and a few other choice famous medicinals are basically our canaries in the coal mine for this big issue. And we really need to take notice now before we're in much more dire straits years down the line. If you're interested in contacting me, you can reach me at my website, www.botanyeveryday.com. And my email is mark@botanyeveryday.com.
And Robert Itis, thank you. You've been a font of information over the years, and you certainly have been on top of this quiet but breaking story on golden seal.
Thanks, Ned. Thanks for giving us the airtime. My humble request from the plant community we represent, please do not by your actions leave a plant in worse conservation shape by lack of plant protection legislation. I can be reached at robert@ncgoldenseal.com, and my website is www.ncgoldenseal.com.
And for the listeners that might be motivated to take part in this issue, voice their opinion.
If people want to get involved, the best way is to contact Gene Cross at the Plant Division or Mark Rose at the North Carolina Plant Commission.
Robert Itis, thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Mark Williams, thank you as well, and happy trails.
Thanks a bunch, Ned. It's great to be here.
And last but clearly not least, Corey Pine Shane. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Thanks, Ned. Good to be here.
Our Southern Community is an independent media program produced in cooperation with WNCW. I'd like to ask for your continuing and generous support of WNCW and all the fine programming offered to our regional community. If you're not a WNCW member, please join us. If you're already a member, please consider an additional contribution to help support all the fine programming WNCW brings to our community. Our Southern Community programs are now available as free downloads at oursoutherncommunity.org. Your comments and programming suggestions are always welcome at info@oursoutherncommunity.org. Thanks for listening.